So, Retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day a much-loved entertainer died on live TV.
Then on Tuesday, we remember the Roots sensation of 1977.
On Wednesday, we unearth the bizarre story of the longest war you've never heard of.
On Thursday, the day an Italian became Queen of Poland.
And on Friday, we celebrate... the women who infiltrated the men-only Boston Marathon.
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the Retrospectors. 10 minutes each weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donnelly view system, deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Okay, we are back for part two of the FF1S review of the season of driving. So, France, the French Grand Prix was always destined to be boring. We knew it, you knew it, the teams knew it, but somehow it was actually quite interesting, which sort of pissed everyone off as we'd all made plans.
2 years in a row, a good Spanish Grand Prix. 2 years in a row, decent French Grand Prix. World's turned upside down.
Although a large chunk of making it interesting was Ferrari's self-destructing again.
Right, this is my point that I started in part one. Halfway through this race, Leclerc's won the last race in Austria. He's leading this race here fairly comfortably. They're back in the hunt.
But then he slightly uncharacteristically bins it on his own into the wall. Which I was quite surprised about. Especially on a track that... it's quite hard to bin it on because there's an awful lot of runoff.
I was going
to
say, yeah, Paul Ricard, it's quite impressive to hit a wall there. You're more likely to get sick from all the lines.
You can try and hit a wall deliberately and still not manage to do it. Then there was a safety car, during which Sainz pitted and promptly got a penalty for unsafe release. So the self-destructing of Ferrari just continued.
Oh, the Sainz stuff was so... they were like, oh, overtake him. Can't overtake him. Fine, we'll pit you. Then he overtook him. So then they pit him because he just overtook him. They were talking on the radio while he's going side by side with him. And he's like, not now. I'm literally overtaking him. It's like the Fawlty Towers episode where he's hanging the moose on the wall and then the phone rings. And he's like, I'm putting it on the wall. You've called me to tell me to put the moose on the wall. And I was just putting the moose on the wall. So that happened. And this was just
so much vintage TV in this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a lot.
Yeah, and how
did you know? The moose was on the wall, but the writing was on the wall for Ferrari.
It was, and that was so frustrating for that whole science thing. He'd already decided earlier in the season to start deciding strategy for himself. You know, he'd decided the strategy in Monaco and stuff like that, but it's just bizarre. And then they pitted him, didn't they? They pitted him because they thought the tyres wouldn't last to the end, so they pitted to guarantee him fifth. But he was ahead of Russell. He was running in third, and he could have tried to hold him off, but they didn't fancy that. So they pitted him and dropped it down to fifth.
But going back to our Ferrari thing, do you think it is because they've got a list of things they can choose from, and in the list, staying ahead of Russell wasn't part of it? So they're like, look, you can either finish seventh or finish fifth.
We discussed this at the beginning of the season.
There's a chance I can finish third. Sorry, that's not on the list. Yeah, it's not on the list. You can't finish third because we haven't got it on the list. And if you try and finish third, Gazzetta e l'Italia del Sport dicks are going to have a go at us, and then we're going to get fired. So actually, you're going to finish seventh for the good of the sport.
I mean, we jest. That's probably what happened.
Hungry. Wheels are coming.
Do you do that same joke every year?
Lovely, lovely stuff.
Look, I can't... My mouth activates before my brain does. So that was just... that was like pure racing instinct. That was like Ayrton Senna, if you don't make a joke about Hungary, are you really a Formula One podcast?
We all saw it coming. As inevitable as death or taxes, we knew Ferrari would mess things up. And so... having watched multiple other drivers have a nightmare on hard tyres, Ferrari put Charles Leclerc on hard tyres. It was vintage Maranello and handed what looked to be a misfiring Max Verstappen yet another win and a massive championship gap. Slow hand claps all round. Jason Birkinshaw asks, Jack, why is Verstappen such an unbearable I think it's good to start this race with that question.
And Jack, let's just say this isn't opinion. This is objectively, he is an unbearable.
Oh, the sound effects are out. It must be Christmas. Jack, you've gone very quiet.
I think that Verstappen's...
Are you scared right now that we're going to have another Sky Sports thing? And if you agree that Verstappen's a somehow, because Verstappen's the kind of person that listens to everything, he will be going, look, I'm not going to talk to Sky because Ted Kravitz said bad things. And now I'm not going to talk to the BBC because Jack Nicholls agreed that
surely he'd stop speaking to FF1S first.
Well, that's true. We don't want to lose that.
Exactly.
Well, he can't stop speaking to us unless he speaks to us. So he'd have to speak to us first.
No, he'd just allow him to stop. Yeah. I don't...
You can't sue someone for calling them a... That's not libelous. What were we saying?
Verstappen being...
Chica!
I thought people liked their racing drivers ruthless, out to win, but suddenly... When Verstappen does it, we don't like it. When Senna does it, we love it. The guy's a hero.
When Prost does it, we love it.
When Verstappen does everything...
Can you stop talking about my girlfriend?
When Verstappen does everything in his power in order to win and is entirely selfish, like we applaud all great sportsmen for being, or sports people for being, he's slammed for it. Don't really understand it.
No, this isn't true. The issue that people have got with Verstappen isn't that he's ruthless. It's that he's a fucking... It's this whining, oh, everyone's against me. Oh, God, oh,
When did he say everyone's against him?
One of the highlights I was watching from this year... I watched them all today, so I can't fucking remember. One of them is like, oh, we won the race despite what everyone said against us. And in Abu Dhabi last year, where Horner and him were like, oh, you won against everyone trying to stop you. It's this kind of mentality of him thinking the world is against him, when actually we just don't like him.
So your justification for him thinking the world's against him is because the world's against him.
Yes.
and so you're now criticizing Verstappen for thinking the world's against him when it is.
World's against him now, but the world wasn't against him.
So the world's only against him because he thought the world was against him. We're talking chicken and egg here, right? I don't get it. Do you remember when Verstappen came onto the scene and he was the most exciting guy ever and he was ruthless and he was whatever, whatever? Then as soon as he wins, we don't like that anymore. We want him to be nice and polite and play nicely with his teammate. Then, yeah. What? All of the best things in Formula One history are, in the rivalries we love, are antagonistic history. All we go on about is Senna and Prost and 1988 and they crashed in 1989. They crashed in 1990. We love it. We make... films that are false about Rush, about 1976, because, oh, Lauda and Hunt, they hated each other. No, they didn't. They got along great. When they were in Formula 3, they shared a flat together in Chelsea. But for the movie, we have to make them hate each other because that's what sport is. Ah, now we have a man who's ruthless and didn't get along with Hamilton last year.
It's nothing to do with the ruthlessness. It's not to do with the ruthlessness, is it?
You can't explain it. You can't give me any quantifiable evidence.
All you did was
say chicken and the egg. What?
You said chicken and the egg. I didn't say chicken. Look, Red Bull and Christian Horner and Max Verstappen are doing this kind of weird right-wing playbook of just blaming everything on everyone else. Always complaining about, oh, everyone else is cheating, one's against us.
You're just going, but you're not saying any examples.
Phil.
No, not Phil. You.
Yes, Terry.
What have they complained about that you've had issue with them complaining about?
I've always liked him.
Oh, yeah.
People love the baddies in sport. People love the rivalries in sport. People love the antagonism in sport. It's why we watch sport. Arsenal versus Man United in the sort of mid-2000s, that rivalry. People complain that currently Liverpool versus Man City is not edgy enough. There's not enough fight in it because Pep respects Klopp and Klopp respects Pep and the players all respect each other and everyone says how boring that is. We want teams to fight each other. We want Vieira punching Keane. And then you have a sports person come along like Verstappen who's exactly that. Suddenly we don't like it. What?
Because he's whiny. That's what it is.
It's whiny. It's not
so
aggressive.
So we hate
it's
someone because they're whiny? What?
Yes.
Yeah.
You like Nigel Mansell. What planet are you on?
Yeah, but I didn't know what whiny was when I was 10, did I?
Yeah, and he did it with a Birmingham accent, which is one of the most aesthetically pleasing accents.
And let's not forget Twitter and racist fans.
Let's not forget Twitter. Also, we hate Verstappen because some of his fans are racist.
Anyway, Chica, I think it's time for the next race.
Okay.
I think I've won this round.
Yeah. Do you know what, Jack? I think you fucking...
I think you should write your diary today. Feeling embarrassed. Got obliterated in an argument of logic with a two-bit BBC F1 man.
Two childless men went head-to-head.
Because they have nothing else to live for.
Belgium!
Yes, I am. Oh, no, sorry.
Spa has a reputation as one of the most exciting tracks on the calendar, but in the run-up to the 2022 Belgian Grand Prix, its future was under threat, with the championship contenders Max Verstappen and Charles Leclerc starting near the back. Surely this was all set to be a classic, a race to remind us of its importance in F1. So how the fuck was it so boring?
Not great timing, Spa, was it?
Well, this was post the summer break. Red Bull came with their lighter car. They've got rid of all the excess weight. They've sorted it out. From here onwards, we're done. Right? Thanks for listening. FF1S/shop, whatever. Like, we're done at this point. Because France, there was that glimmer of hope. Hungary, you could still be like, well, if Ferrari hadn't gone the hard tyre, so maybe they can. Spa, we're done. Verstappen started wherever he... And he was in the lead by about lap...
He was at the back, wasn't he? At the back?
Was
no, 12. I think it was lap 12. He
lap
was 12. Leading.
He's in the lead, and okay, there's less laps, but yeah, there's what 44 laps at Spa, and that doesn't count as... I don't know why you're laughing, Terry. That doesn't count as one for you. That's now one for Phil.
No, it does. It's one for FF1S. So it's one
it's
all
me versus FF1S. It's Jack Stick. Jack Stick. It's in when you were at child playing football, if it was just one person versus everyone else, like I'm not going to say that, but anyway,
you're going to say what?
Like a gangbang was going to be what I was going to say, but
what school did you go to?
This is a family podcast, Jack.
Boarding, I'll tell you that. But from Belgium onwards, it was just that Red Bull, no matter what Ferrari's strategy would have been in any race from here on, they couldn't have done anything
because they're Ferrari.
Well, yeah, and Red Bull had fixed their car, basically.
How did they fuck this one up? Because Sainz was on pole. Well, actually, no, he was on pole because Verstappen had all the engine penalties.
And then Verstappen was just
Leclerc
way quicker.
Got a tear off, stuck in his wazoo. Which is no good.
Stuck in his what?
This is the one where Leclerc pitted to get the fastest lap, but then got a 5-second penalty because he was speeding in the pit lane and promptly lost the place he had.
Oh, that's so Ferrari.
Yeah,
that's... I mean, that could be the sort of the catchphrase for this season. That's so Ferrari. Yeah.
Formula One is filmed in front of a live studio.
Exactly. Yeah. Lewis Hamilton comes in. Everybody applauds. Yeah.
I would.
You would. Have I been in a different conversation to you? Why did you shout? I would.
If Lewis Hamilton walks into the room, I'd applaud.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see.
Netherlands! Verstappen emerged in the orange smoke, a homecoming hero. Shame they weren't in Belgium, really. Perez ran over Sainz as tyre gun. Russell showed pace in the Mercedes, and Tsunoda had tyre problems and then didn't, and then did again, which helped Verstappen tap Snow's.
Well, yes, this was conspiracy. It wasn't corner, this was like conspiracy circuit after this race, wasn't it? They were like, oh, Verstappen only won because Tsunoda did whatever it was he did, I can't remember, under his seatbelts or something.
Tsunoda thought something was wrong with the car, came into the pits.
Well, no, he didn't come into the pits.
No, I think he did.
He stopped.
No, he came into the pits, and then it was like, the team were like, now we think it's all right. He drove out the pits, and they were like, oh, no, it's wrong. So then he pulled over at the side.
But he'd taken his seatbelt off or something.
So that's why it looked suspicious.
Wasn't there trouble he did?
Yeah, or something like that.
Was there
something
with his seatbelts?
But he'd come back into the pits that he'd already been in. I don't know. It was all... The conspiracy thing was just nonsense.
I've never known the internet to jump on a conspiracy theory. It was really weird.
I know.
I mean, it was an amazing conspiracy theory because you just had to watch it to see this is just sheer ineptitude.
I don't think you're that wrong. I don't think you're that... There was something with... I can't remember. The thing is now, I got told what actually happened, But
is it in an email? You got to read out a second email.
I think it was off the record, so I don't think I can tell you, and I can't bother to scroll back through my WhatsApp far enough. But I think it was basically Yuki thought there was a problem, so he came into the pits. The team were like, no, it's fine. So they sent him out the pits, and then it became clear there definitely was a problem. So Yuki was right. So then he parked up. But that's why it looked weird, because he came in to fix the problem, but then mysteriously left and then broke down at the third corner.
Was it a bit Boy Who Cried Wolf? Like, he's always complaining about problems.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, yeah, all right. Yeah,
got 99 problems, but my diff
loose.
Ain't one. Quite a good race in the end. It was looking boring for Verstappen, but then there was that. But then the safety car, and then it all... Like, there was a few interesting things. It's all right.
We had Ferrari fucking up again.
Yeah. Was it this race where, right before the start, one of the fans threw a flare onto the track? Was that this race?
Oh, yes, I think that did that. Was that? It was in the race, wasn't it? I can't remember now.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think it was just as they were coming around. I can't remember.
What?
No, I think it was when they were coming around for the formation lap. So one of the fans got a bit overexcited because, you know, you love Verstappen's fans, Jeff.
Threw the flare. Best Grand Prix of the season, Zandvoort.
Oh, yeah, of course, because they love you. They're all going, there's that commentator who really likes Max Verstappen. He's one of us. Yeah. It's spaff orange all over his face.
I'm wearing a grey T-shirt. Chica's in a blue jumper. Phil's in a black top. Terry?
I'm wearing a yellow jumper.
That's orange. Come on, it's orange.
Burnt yellow.
Fucking
that's
mustard.
Orange.
Mustard.
That's orange.
What colour's that picture on the wall behind you, Terry?
Yeah.
That's orange on the wall behind. Look, sure. There's a definite difference.
No, that's orange.
Yeah. And what colour's that flare that's just let off?
And actually, what's on the sofa? What colour's that cushion behind you on the sofa?
That's a hat.
And what colour's the hat?
Look how different that is.
What's the sale of it? Verstappen.
Two couple of different shades of orange. Yeah.
You're all orange.
And who's that racing driver sat behind you on the sofa?
It's not Hamilton, because he would have clapped.
Oh, I've forgotten his name. Daniel Kvyat.
It's what we're both, kid is, yeah.
Yeah, we're both reading through our diaries of the year. It's not been good for either of us. Although he has to use pseudonyms that aren't racing drivers.
and not Russian either, so he's allowed in. Do you know Kelly Piquet's on the front of Vogue this month for some
Dutch
reason?
Dutch Vogue. I think it's only Dutch Vogue.
Is it Dutch Vogue?
Well, there's the reason.
They're holding her up as the poster woman for female motorsport.
Well, they're Dutch royalty.
Are they?
Apparently.
According to?
That's what I've
exactly.
Heard.
Exactly.
I mean, she's in a helmet and it says pole position on the front, so.
You're going to love this, Terry. I really like Kelly Piquet.
I don't even know who she is.
I have no opinion. I like her. She used to work in Formula E, so...
Oh, yeah, she did the PR for Formula E, didn't she?
She's part of that whole crew, so she's very nice.
Well, she was shit at that, though, wasn't she?
That is 1-1. That is 1-1.
Italy! The race took place on 9/11, but there was still a flypast. The fans were abusive, and Verstappen won again, with the race finishing under a safety car, caused by last year's inexplicable winner, Daniel Ricciardo crying by the side of the track.
So I guess actually this is the time of year where we probably should talk about the McLaren debacle and Piastri, because it was around this time of year that the whole Alpine Piastri everything happened. What a shit show.
Was this kicked off by the Queen dying?
Everything was kicked off and it by sort the of, Queen dying.
So the Queen died and it set in motion all sorts of contract disputes with Alpine.
For the Queen.
Yeah, because Alpine had a loophole.
He was going to sign up for 2023.
Fernando had a break in his contract that if royalty dies, he's allowed to leave the team. And they're like, oh, that's fine. We've only got Alonso for a year. What are the chances the Queen's going to die this year?
No, the Alonso stuff was wild because Vettel retired and then suddenly Alonso's taking over from...
That was
the thing that triggered it, right? Vettel's retiring, then suddenly Alonso's there and then Alpine announced Piastri's taking over. Piastri does a tweet saying, no, I'm not. And Alpine are like, interesting, because I've signed for McLaren. Ricciardo's like, have you? I thought I had a contract. It's wild. Absolutely wild.
That was the best day of the fucking year in Formula One, was that tweet.
Yeah.
Going, I am not an Alpine driver.
Press, they did a full-on, we all got emailed a press release saying Alpine to drive, and we're all like, yep, makes sense. And Piastri's like,
of course.
Even I had it.
No way, mate.
Because what I found amazing from that Piastri tweet was it was very certain. It wasn't just like, guys, let's talk about this.
Yeah,
it was like, I am not going to drive for Alpine next year, which was, you know, a very ballsy move because, I mean, obviously we now know that the Alpine contract was basically written on Alonso's dirty pants. But there was definitely a moment where you're like, if you fuck this up, you're either going to have to drive for Alpine and they'll hate you, or you're going to be out of a drive entirely. But as we now know, Alpine did not do a good job dotting their I's or crossing their T's.
No. Well, even though there's no I or T in Fernando Alonso, so that didn't...
There's no I in team.
There's plenty in Oscar Piastri, isn't there? There's an I and a T in Piastri.
Yes, awful lot of I's.
So wasn't it that Alpine wants to give Alonso a one-year contract with options, and Alonso just flounced off and went, how dare you imply that I'm old? How fucking dare you say that I look 40?
I'm going to a team that are much worse than you are.
And he hobbled back down the grid on his walker.
Yeah, yes, he did. But this seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but haven't both Piastri and Alonso rather theatrically abandoned a team that did better than either of the teams they've gone to this year?
Yep.
Because Alpine actually got a pretty good result this year, considering the fact that they were hopeless and their drivers were falling out and all this kind of jazz.
And when the news broke about Seidel leaving for Audi, or Sauber, whatever.
Saudi.
Saudi. Do you reckon Piastri's just there going, oh, shit. Oh, shit, I've just joined a skipfire on a watertight contract.
Well, I suspect, based on absolutely nothing, that he's going to get his ass handed to him by Norris next year.
Do you? What do you think, Jack?
If I had to guess, which it seems I have to, I would say that Norris will have the advantage for the first 7 or 8 races. Then it'll get a bit closer. I think by the end of the year, it'll be close. I think Norris is pretty mega, but Piastri has a lot of potential. So I think Norris will come out on top, but I don't think that Piastri will be delivered his own rump in the way that you insinuate.
Do you know who else had a lot of potential? Daniel Ricciardo.
Daniel Ricciardo realised his potential, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay, can we get the lowdown on what happened? What do you think happened to Ricciardo?
He did a very interesting interview. It's on therace.com. And he basically said that he should have just accepted he was a bit slower than Norris. But what he did was kind of try and reinvent the wheel and how he drove in order to match Norris in this sort of dodgy car, and he ended up being further away. So maybe he should have just... The Ricciardo thing is one of the weirdest things in F1 history. I think it's one of the weirdest driver things in F1. Because on paper, when he went to McLaren, I was personally, if you're Ferrari, you sign Ricciardo over Sainz. Come on, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? But now, Sainz is, look, he's not as good as Leclerc, but he's, you know, there. He's there-ish sometimes. I think Ricciardo would have been closer. But yeah, it goes to Renault. Looks great. He looks great everywhere. Then suddenly in McLaren, he just looks so far off. It's one of the weirdest things in F1 history. Because it's one thing to be a bit off, and if he's beaten by Norris over the 2 years by a couple of tenths, you're like, oh, that's a bit weird. You know, that's impressive. Fair play, Norris. This is just weird. When you're a second off at some races, it doesn't make any sense. Because Ricciardo's great.
He's gone now, isn't he? He doesn't have a reserve gig. Oh, no, he's
Red
at Red Bull.
Red Bull reserve, yeah.
Oh, but imagine.
But
that.
We're never going to see
But in the
back.
Same way, I don't think, in the same way David Coulthard does, you know, drives the Red Bull car on occasions.
Oh, God, he's just going to do demos in Pyongyang.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, not quite that, but you know what I mean? Like, I can't see him.
Yeah, but there's a difference. Coulthard had come to the natural end of his career, whereas Ricciardo's going to have to go back, and there's a point where he's going to have to be in the same room as Max Verstappen, and all Max Verstappen has to do is look at him and he will wilt and just start crying on the floor.
Two things. I don't think they'll let him in the same room as Max Verstappen, and also he'll get to the mid-season break and then he'll become the reserve driver at AlphaTauri, so, you know, they won't need to worry about it after that.
Oh, how low can Ricciardo go is now the question. I mean, he's gone pretty
Formula
low.
Formula E.
I don't even think Formula E is low for Ricciardo. No, because Formula E is kind of like a natural progressive, but I think he's going to stick in Formula One. I think he's going to go to Williams.
I want him to go to NASCAR or IndyCar or V8 Supercars, whatever that's called.
Yeah,
V8,
no, exactly. V8, V8 Australian supercars. I'd love to see him go to Australian supercars.
These are all things he should do. He should get out of Formula One and do
NASCAR.
Something to...
I think he'd be great in NASCAR.
Yeah, he should totally do that, but he won't. He will stick in Formula One to the bit. He'll be like the guy in the nightclub who's still there trying to get off with people when the lights go up. Don't know what you're talking about. And just he'll be there just like looking sad and pathetic.
So
and
what,
like
you think when the lights... Formula One will so end when the him. Lights go up, you're like, oh, this is my opportunity because people can see me now. That's your theory.
No, it's then... That's,
take a look at me now.
That's when you realise that you're the sad... Up until that second, you're cool. And then you realise, oh, no, you're the guy...
Because you've come in a Max Verstappen
cool
jumper.
The-
I always go in my Red Bull outfit with orange flares. Gets all the ladies, of all the daughters of Brazilian world champions. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
Some breaking news. We have just had a donation from Matthew Restaino, who says... Christmas beers for all.
Yay! Yay.
Oh,
thanks, Matthew.
For old acquaintance be forgotten.
None of us know the words.
Thanks, Matthew. Summer,
you're right. Good old
lang syne. Thanks, Matthew.
Oh.
Okay. Singapore.
Got a listener question.
Was
Got a listener. We've got
we've got a listener question. Tristan Clayton says, given that we're clearly in for multiple years of Max domination with Checo in no position to put off a who will be the next champion after Verstappen? In 2030.
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
That's a good question. I think Hamilton will get one more.
Russell.
I don't think Russell will.
No, I think Hamilton could get... I think Hamilton... I don't think he could get into one next... I think next year feels a bit too tough. But Leclerc will be the next new one.
I think Russell's going to be around for a while. And I've got enough faith in Mercedes that they'll get a good car again. I think Russell's in there for the long haul.
Norris.
If
Norris at
Norris
Audi.
Norris at Audi in 26.
Yep.
Oh no, it's going to take Audi a good few years to get a decent car. But 2030, maybe.
Why? They've got four years to build it.
Apart from Braun, who's come in and had a really good car straight away?
Yeah, but new engine rates.
Yeah,
new rates,
budget cars.
Budget cuts. Yeah, I think it's a different world we live in now. I think they can
be... Whole new team, whole new company.
It's not a whole new team, it's Sauber. Race-winning team.
Oh, my mistake. Yes, race-winning team. Was it this year? Was it? Was it last year? Was it? I can't remember.
2008. But...
You're so 2008.
That was a very modern reference for you. I'm impressed.
Good morning.
I, so modern, I didn't understand it.
The black-eyed peas.
The black-eyed peas.
I remember they were good. Anyway.
They were never. What the fuck are you talking about?
They were, before they went all pop back in the late '90s, because they've been going for ages. And in the early days, they were a proper, legitimate hip hop band.
And what they did, and then they did Where Is the Love, and they just.
Oh yeah, this was way before then.
So Where Is the Love was not their first single. This is like finding out that Pulp
this
were going
is
or
away.
That
this
Natalie and Imbruglia's Torn is a cover.
Just doing. No, it is. Anyway,
what was the question? Oh, the answer. I think. Okay, so let's just say one word. Leclerc will be the next new world champion.
Norris.
George Russell.
Russell.
Ah, there we go. We've decided.
Singapore. Was the Singapore Grand Prix a good race? Well, you tell me. Was it a good race?
I can't remember.
It was all right. It was all right.
Was it?
Perez.
It was quite close coming into it, wasn't it? It was pretty tight at the top.
Yeah, Verstappen.
116
Verstappen
points.
Was going to take pole, but ran out of fuel. So he only qualified. He would have run out of fuel if he'd have finished the lap and then been disqualified. So they pitted him anyway because he'd been in on a drying track. And then, so he started further back. The race started wet. And Perez was holding off Leclerc in the closing stages. Leclerc never really looked like he was going to do it. Perez held on to take his.
He was on pole, though, wasn't he?
Who was?
Leclerc was on pole.
Yeah,
I can't
remember how Perez got ahead.
It's impressive on a street track to get pole and not be able to hold.
Well, anyway. It's almost like he hadn't had that before in Monaco. Mm. He had, was my point.
I seem to remember people crashing. There were quite a lot of people crashed.
Oh, Perez took the lead off the line from Leclerc. Latifi and Joe crashed.
What happened to Verstappen? Didn't Verstappen... No, he didn't crash, but he spun or something, didn't he?
He just sort of sat around, didn't he? Because he couldn't really make any progress. because it was a street race.
You can't overtake at Singapore.
No, exactly. Yeah. He was stuck behind Lance Stroll. At the end of the race, he was 1.5 seconds behind Lance Stroll.
Hamilton binned it.
Yes,
but
he did
it cleverly, so he didn't damage the car. Yeah. So everybody was saying.
Throughout his career, Hamilton has managed to crash well many times. Like,
he's very good at it.
He's very good at crashing, but not
considering
destroying
the car. Doesn't do it very much.
Yeah, Imola last
tactical
year
tactical crashing,
crashed under the red flag, managed to get out of it.
Yeah, just like he
Nürburgring 2000 and what was the Winkelhock year? Seven or eight? When Hamilton crashed, but he stayed in the car, so they could just crane him up and pop him back on the track.
Is that even legal now?
I don't have an answer for you, Terry.
Should be. Should be compulsory.
Just have all the cars on cranes on the grid, and then the tractors go.
Throughout the race, at some point, a tractor should have to pick you up.
So no, the Singapore Grand Prix...
There's no pit lane.
The Singapore Grand Prix was fine. It was all right. Perez won.
When we're 17 races into a 24-race season, I don't want fine.
I do. I want fucking... That'll do. Japan! This was Vintage F1, a classic track. Yeah. Rain, utter incompetence across the board, involving a tractor on the track, no one understanding the rules, and Max Verstappen winning his second title. And by this point of the season, he could probably have won it in a tractor.
I recall this one being pretty fun to watch, despite the fact that it was super delayed, wasn't it? Because it rained like a motherfucker.
Yeah, it was like 2 hours delayed, wasn't it? Or an hour, hour and a half.
Something like that.
Because we got to that point where it was...
A fair amount. Because they ran out of time.
Ran out of time. That's why it was half points.
But you would have thought they'd be prepared. Like, the track wouldn't be... It would be able to deal with rain.
I mean, it was serious rain. It's not true. It was sort of Fuji 76 levels of rain, I seem to remember.
That first lap was a bit scary. When Sainz went off, you thought I was a bit scared. Because if he came back on the track, no one's seeing him. And they're hitting him, but he luckily kind of stayed off at the side, and then they decided it was too wet, so we hung around. But because the race had started, the 3 hour clock had started, and then the race was happening, and no one thought Verstappen was going to win the title because it was going to be half points. But it turned out that none of us knew the rules, or rather the rules had been written in a not quite the way they were in
stupid
yeah
way.
Not quite the way they were intended to happen.
Right, yes.
So Red Bull didn't think they'd
so
won
because the race stopped and restarted.
Yeah, Verstappen didn't think that if they basically the rule was, if you only get to less than half race distance, you get like half points. Well, there's a sliding scale, but if there's a checkered flag, you get full points. So that race could have been four laps long. If there's a checkered flag at the end, you get full points. It's a stupid rule. So
it was, yeah, it's because they stopped it and then restarted.
Correct,
it, wasn't it?
That correct. Was the, and we've yeah, never yeah. there's never been this occasion in Formula One ever that there was a delay and then the race finished, which is quite bizarre. Because, well, apart from you have had it in, like, 2011 in Canada, but the rules weren't the same then. That's why that race went on for 6 hours or whatever it was. So Verstappen didn't think he'd won. Johnny Herbert told him he'd won. He said, thanks, Johnny, but I don't believe you. And it was all a bit chaotic. And Sky didn't think he'd won. We didn't think he'd won.
Johnny Herbert hears that a lot, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So no one thought he'd won.
Wasn't it the case that he owned...
What's your view on Johnny Herbert?
I really like Johnny Herbert. He's, you know what? Johnny Herbert has a special place in my heart because I was introduced to him a couple of years ago. Mm. Oh, this is Johnny Herbert. Johnny, this is Jack Nicholls. He went, oh, no, I know who you are. Wow.
Oh,
that was a
good
big moment for little...
That
for little...
Marbula One, right?
Yeah. The FF1S Christmas show.
The guy
shows,
doesn't know
right?
what he's talking about in snowboarding. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're the asinine dipshit.
Did you get my email?
To go back to the race, wasn't it the case that Verstappen only got the title because in true Ferrari fashion, Leclerc fucked it up at the last corner by doing an illegal overtake?
Yeah, he outbraked himself, didn't he, in the fight with Perez into the final chicane. So he got a 5 second penalty. Verstappen's the champion, but no one thinks he is, but he is.
Oh, that's really adding insult to injury, isn't it? Mm. It's like, oh, not only did you beat me all year, but here you go. Let me open
have
the door for you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, classic. That's a good one. More of that. More horrendous rain. Let's have more of that. Bernie was on to something.
The second American Grand Prix. Max Verstappen made everyone forget that Red Bull are massive cheats by winning. Fernando Alonso scored points after nearly doing a backflip, but then had to have them taken away again for cheating. So much cheating.
But then he got them back again, Alonso.
When?
Well, so he got them, lost he them, lost, and got them back
exactly.
again.
Hamilton was there. This was a good weekend for Mercedes. They looked like they might nearly win. They didn't, but they looked good.
I'm really gutted that Hamilton didn't win a race this year. For the story, it would have been really good just to get one at the end.
On Drive to Survive, you'll win.
A win isn't necessarily when you cross the line first.
All right, Will Buxton.
Is that Jack?
That was my Jack impression.
Oh, okay.
Oh, was it? I thought it was Will Buxton.
No, 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 because my voice was taller than you think. Now, I'd imagine that Will Buxton's quite short.
I've got him as a 5'8" kind of guy.
He's shorter than me.
Anything else you want to say about the American Grand Prix?
Second. Not really. Is this my preferred American Grand Prix? I'll take it over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this is great. Austin's great. Austin's an amazing city, an amazing venue, really passionate fans. The track's pretty decent. We didn't get an iconic race, but I think overall Austin's been nothing but a triumph in Formula One land.
Take the races away, and which is the more fun weekend, Miami or Austin?
Austin. Austin's one of my favourite cities in the world.
Mexico! Like the Great British Bake Off's Mexico Week, the Mexico Grand Prix was fucking boring, but not quite as offensive. Verstappen took pole, led from the start, and nobody could catch him, but Paul Hollywood said his enchiladas were the best he'd ever tasted.
It's a running theme, isn't it? Things leave the BBC, go to Channel 4, and it's not quite as good. But I think that Mexico was... Again, we nearly got a Hamilton win. Well, we got a Hamilton threat of a win. They didn't quite get the strategy right. But another second place for Hamilton. And suddenly, Ferrari were nowhere in Mexico. The altitude didn't help them because of the size of their turbo. But Mercedes were close. They weren't close enough. Verstappen won.
And it was a bit gutting because it did seem like Hamilton could win for a little while. But then it was quite an easy overtake by Verstappen, yeah. Which... doesn't look great on the telly because it does make it look as if Verstappen can waltz past Hamilton, which wasn't entirely accurate.
Which was the truth.
Which was also the truth.
Tsunoda got his last point of the season.
His last point ever. Just predicting.
I think he's going to get no points next season.
I think AlphaTauri are going to be rubbish next year. I don't know. I've got a feeling.
Oh, basically, another Black Eyed Peas reference.
Oh, I was thinking of the Beatles. What? I got a feeling.
Did they sing about AlphaTauri? I don't remember that.
So I've got a listener question here. Jamal Makhlouf asks, of all the ridiculous things that happened this season, what was the stupidest thing you've seen and why? That is, other than Ferrari's strategy calls, of course.
I'd vote for the Just Stop Oil protesters who ran onto the track at Silverstone only after it had been red flagged. It was stupid on a number of
levels. You can't expect some climate protesters to know the red flag rules of Formula One.
But I always say also that's the safe way of doing it.
But they didn't do it to be safe. But they didn't do it to be safe. They thought they were running on... Well, that's what the thing is. They thought they were running onto a live track, which is stupid. But they actually ran onto a dead track, which meant they were still alive. I think the Venn diagram of climate protesters who would actually protest and people who know the rules of Formula One is a very small overlap.
Which Sebastian Vettel, isn't it?
I'm all for the climate protesting. I think they should be doing more of it. And I'm against oil, like anybody.
But possibly not by running onto a live F1 track.
Definitely not by doing that, because that could have been nasty.
Yeah, they're a lot faster than the King's Horse, and even that didn't end very well. So, is there anything else stupid this year?
Yeah, I'm honestly...
Don't say Jack, that's horrible.
I'm looking at it and I can't... Nothing really leaps to mind as particularly... stupid. I mean,
Verstappen and Kravitz.
If we're avoiding the Ferrari on slick tyres in Brazil qualifying, that wasn't just getting strategy wrong. That was just like, what? Everybody is on dries. The track is dry. We put wets on. I mean,
again, they've only got three options on their spreadsheet. It's either...
Yeah, that was unbelievable. I'm going with that. I know it wasn't allowed, but that doesn't even feel like strategy. That just feels like
insanity.
Just like a sort of vague understanding of moisture was required.
I think the stupidest thing is Alpine trying to kind of pretend they wanted to sign Gasly anyway.
That's a good one.
That was good. Most thing Alpines did off the track, actually, was pretty funny.
We've got our number one choice driver who, after number three, I mean, number four, we've got the driver that was available when we wanted a driver.
Yeah.
And of those drivers, he was the second one we wanted.
When we went to Red Bull and
proud
said,
proud to announce this guy.
Any chance we could have this guy? Red Bull are like, yeah, fine. What? Why are you asking?
Yeah, we don't
like, hang on, do we still have him? Fucking hell, we do. Shit, sorry. Yeah.
He's just here under Scott Speed.
Can we just stop and remember? Before we do Sao Paulo, can we just stop and remember that Ocon, Ricardo, and Gasly, what a race last year or the year before. That's crazy.
Alpine have got two race winners in their team next year.
Well, anyway, Sao Paulo, Kevin Magnussen was on pole. Yes. After a weird, wet quali and then a sprint race with actual overtaking. And then the George Russell won his first race. Was this a Grand Prix or a fever dream? Verstappen refused to give up sixth place to help his teammate because he is a... insert word here, please.
Well, we know my view.
We know my view. This was the best race weekend of the year. In terms of best quali, best sprint, best race, this had it all. I don't like sprint races, but... this across the board, everything was great. Magnussen on pole, man.
That was so crazy. The whole, just said a few minutes ago about Ricardo winning a race and Ocon winning a race and Gasly winning a race, and that feels like a bygone era because everything's gone a bit more boring with Verstappen winning everything and Ferrari and everything. And then out of nowhere, little Kevin Magnussen, little comeback story, gets a pole position and then comes like seventh on a sprint race, whatever. And it's just... it's fucking amazing.
It's the days we live for. Honestly, Magnussen on pole is what we live for.
It can't be too often because it'll be too normal, but I think we need a little bit more than we're getting.
Agreed.
Well, the last one I'd remembered was Hülkenberg, and that was, what, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
No, I'm 2010? Talking about the Gasly win and the Ocon win and even the Ricciardo win count.
Oh, yeah, I suppose, yeah. I was thinking specifically qualifying, but yeah.
No.
Okay,
Brazil was the only race of the season where neither Verstappen, Leclerc nor Perez were on the podium.
Wow.
Ooh, good fact.
Tom Murray says, have the new regs worked as well as the FIA said they would? And what would you change for next year?
So they've worked pretty well, I would say.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
They've made it better, no doubt.
They've made it better. Well, they've definitely not made it worse, which is such a Formula One. Let's face it, there was a heavy chance that they would have just made it much worse. Like, do you remember that year they went, right, what we're going to do is make the cars faster. And they made the cars significantly faster, which meant that nobody could overtake
anyone whatsoever. 2017, everyone was like, we need more downforce and faster. But now no one can follow or overtake. Cool.
I seem to remember at the time we were saying, no, upforce is what we need.
Yeah.
But the thing is, wasn't that rule change all about the embarrassing thing where all of the lap records are like Kimi Raikkonen in 2006 in a McLaren?
Why is that embarrassing? Why is it just...
Well, no, it's embarrassing for Formula One in terms of... It looks... I don't think it's just got slower. I think it just looks a bit weird.
Formula One is not as fast as it used to.
Yeah, that is a slightly embarrassing thing because everything's on a linear projection. But I agree, Jack, it shouldn't
Who's
be.
Talking about? Who knows track record, lap records? Who gives a...
Well, they change the tracks off anyway.
Apex.
Mr. Apex. Spanners is like spannering away to some track records. And Alex Brundle comes in on occasion. Oh, yeah, great. No one real gives a crap about lap records.
Well, if
I
you
knew
want some
he
real,
wasn't real. I knew he was made up.
Sports. On the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Pedro from the Arsenal Opinion Podcast, and I am hyped about the title running. Can Arsenal pit Pep and Klopp? Will our young squad be described as mentality monsters? Is Mikel Arteta truly a generational saucy manager? Come and join us on the Arsenal Opinion Podcast to follow the boys on this historic 2024 Premier League title run-in and hear analysis of the games, the hottest transfer rumours, the Arsenal culture and the business of football. 3 times a week exclusively on the Sports Social Podcast Network. Search the Arsenal Opinion now and come and join the fun.
Abu Dhabi. Vettel commemorated his last ever race by being entirely unmemorable. Ricciardo is now a Red Bull reserve driver and Leclerc became the first loser because Verstappen did nothing to help Perez as expected.
That was quite dickish.
What did you expect him to do?
It kind of ended as we expected it to be.
Expect him to help his teammate who's helped him lots.
Do what?
Anything. Literally anything.
Look, I don't
not
disagree.
Just go, oh, I tried to help, but where did he finish? Oh, he's miles away. Oh, well, never mind.
I think he could have held up. I think he could have held up Leclerc a bit and allowed Perez to get through. But also,
it was the week before, wasn't it? It was the one the week before with the not giving up sixth place on the last lap. I mean, that was a dickish move. Come on, there's no way that wasn't dickish.
If you were a racing driver, Terry, would you like to only win the championship because your teammate helped you, or do you want to win it on your own merit?
But it's not winning the championship, is it?
Exactly. It's finishing second in the championship. You only want to finish second, but if Max helps me, or do you want to finish where you deserve to finish because of your performances throughout the season?
I'd want to finish second because Max helped me.
Yes. It's worth a ton of money to the team as well.
Not in the Drivers' Championship.
You know, Red Bull.
I don't care how I got there. I just want to get there.
No, I think there's any prize money in the Constructors. So no one really cared.
To the team, and they finished the season
first, second and third in championship order. Seemed appropriate, didn't it? It was a damp squib way to end a season that turned into a damp squib, having been so exciting 3 hours ago when we started this podcast record.
It was. Although, having said that, I wish it had finished at Brazil, because Brazil was really good.
Yeah.
Brazil, I think, was the best race weekend of the lot. Discuss.
Agreed.
No. Well, it wasn't, was it? Because it was Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo, not Brazil.
No, I completely agree with Phil. I don't like the sprints, but the sprint was good. Quali was good. And if you hadn't had the sprint, FP2 would have just been wet, quali would have been dry, and the race would have been boring. So sprint helped that weekend, and I don't like sprint.
The sprint is like a good answer waiting for a question.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it sounded good. It doesn't really make any sense, but we'll keep it.
All of which brings us to the grand finale, the big one, a prestigious award bequeathed by us and designed to cheer up / patronise a driver after being a bit of a downer for whatever reason. Here we go then. It is the FF1S Man of the Match of the Year of Driving.
Kevin Magnussen.
Stupid.
Every year I think you're not going to do this bit anymore, and then every year it still happens.
Have you learned anything from us, Jack? That we never change anything. We're like Kimi Räikkönen. We were good once, and we stuck at that until we had to stop physically.
That is it from us. It is goodbye to Phil Tromans.
Goodbye. We haven't had time to talk about political and religious gestures because we're not allowed to talk about them. So we haven't cleared them in beforehand.
And to Terry Saunders.
We haven't had time to talk about something else, but not going to tell you.
And to Jack Nichols.
We never have time to talk about Formula E. It's not fair.
Oh, we had time, Jack. We had plenty of time.
Gave it way more than it deserves.
We'll be back next year, maybe in a pub occasionally. We would like that if you would too. You can support the show and pay for Terry's flights, my babysitter, or Phil's cordial. But in the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forF1'sSake, and follow us on Twitter @forF1'sSake. Terry, where can people buy merch?
Chico, don't be silly. You don't have to buy merch at this time of year. You just got to ask Santa nicely and he'll put the merch down the chimney.
Or
ff1s.com/chimney.
Thanks for listening. See you soonish. I've been Chico Rez. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye. Thank you,
Christmas.
Jack.
Happy New Year. Thank
you,
Jack.
You guys.
Thank
you
for the listeners.
Social Podcast Network.